Hey everybody, we're coming at you here with another breaking news episode. Very eventful weekend in the wrestling business, and we just felt like we needed to talk about this. To start with, we had kind of, I'd say, the dam breaking on the Me Too movement in wrestling, as I don't know, at least a dozen major wrestlers and wrestling executives were accused of sexual assault, sexual misconduct, rape, a variety of pretty serious misdeeds this weekend. Hard to list them all, but a lot of major names here, including pretty much everybody from the British wrestling scene. Feels like we're witnessing the end of the British wrestling boom right in front of us.
Yeah, and to be honest, I couldn't be more happy about it because apparently the entire British wrestling boom was made up of nothing but rapists and pedophiles. I don't know how nobody got pushed but those people, but you know what? Actually, I think I do kind of know how.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just, you're seeing a totally broken culture in wrestling. I mean, not only, there's not only impunity, but it feels like it's just actively encouraged.
See, that's the thing, is that while I'm so glad that so many of these incredibly brave women and some men too spoke out and shared their stories and gave us like some shed some light onto the monsters that these people really are, I especially am bummed out just because all it does is really reveal how small a light that really is. It's on one particular subsection of the wrestling industry. It just happened to be one that has had a big light shown on it recently, so that we know some of these people. But there's so much to this industry that has never had a light shown on it, that so many even worse people than these that are still out there collecting paychecks and on our televisions. And it's every time something like this happens, it's so hard not to think about that.
Yeah, that's the terrifying thing. You just know for every one incident that we hear about, what is there got to be 10, 50, 100 we're not hearing about?
And these aren't small scale incidents. Like,
No.
if you haven't heard anything about this speaking out campaign, and you might be like, okay, this is a thing where it's like sexual harassment or something like
Yeah.
that. Literally, we're talking about everything from soliciting people deeply, deeply underage. We're talking about actual, genuine, like straight up sexual assault and rape cases. We're talking about spousal abuse, like bloody drawn out fights in the
Yeah, like,
street, spousal
this is
abuse,
not
like
political correctness run amok. These are not like bad jokes or, yeah, misunderstandings. Like, this is criminal misconduct.
blackballing people who report like your friends for the rapes they committed, grooming people for sex trafficking. Like, this is as heinous a series of crimes as anyone could possibly commit. And I guarantee you, if you're looking at the list the way I am now, you've cheered for one of these people in the last 12 months.
Yeah, I mean, there's people on here I've been a fan of. I was a big advocate of pushing Jack Gallagher a couple of years ago when he was first breaking in the cruiserweight division. He's been fired by WWE. Matt Riddle, nothing so far. Seems like he's still their golden boy. He debuted on SmackDown on Friday and got to beat AJ Styles.
Yeah, definitely awkward timing for them. I know for certain that they are going to try to weather the storm with that because Jack Gallagher's disposable, but they had plans to actually push Matt Riddle. And trust me, I understand. I've staked my brand around Velveteen Dream. I called him the future of our industry, the one thing that could save WWE. Hey, guess what? He's a pedophile. I feel great today.
And I mean, speaking of weathering the storm, like, that's clearly what they were trying to do there. It had just, the story had gone quiet. You hadn't heard anything in a while. And now, gonna be hard to keep a lid on that now, I think, with the increased scrutiny we're gonna see here.
Yeah, there was a moment where if you squinted and tried, you could almost believe, because like, oh, that's tenuous evidence. Maybe it's not really. In our hearts, we all knew. But now, thank goodness somebody spread more information around. And like, that's the big thing. Thank goodness that people felt like they could finally come out and speak on these issues. Most of the people who did it are people who had already been blackballed in the industry, or women who had already, because of these things, been prevented from getting other jobs and other roles, and they there was a, some degree of freedom. Some of them had already left the business. Because from inside it, you just don't feel like you can say anything.
How many? You think about all the women wrestlers who just kind of like, oh, what happened to them? Oh, they just kind of left. And there's kind of a blank on why. And I think this helps fill in the blank on a lot of them.
You've heard me be kind of like mock angry on this podcast a lot of times. I am much worse at channeling real anger than I am sort of fake indignation, but I've never been this angry as a wrestling fan. And we all knew it was there, and it only makes it worse that in the back of our heads, we just kind of wanted to ignore it and move on and watch wrestling and enjoy it. God, it's so fucking hard to do that.
Just a broken industry. At every level.
And we as a podcast, like, basically our mission statement is, like, to make wrestling positive again. To make it inclusive for people. To make it welcoming. Because so much of it is just cynical and snarky and dark and horrible. And it's tough to see the lighter side in moments like this.
Yeah, it turns out there was something to be cynical about.
And there always will be. And we're not going to stop the podcast. We're not going to stop talking about wrestling. It's intrinsic to our lives. But the severity of this and the heroism of the people actually telling the stories is something that I won't ever shake. Like, that will be attached to wrestling for me forever.
I mean, and as much as it would hurt, as much as it hurts to say, like, I hope we hear more. Just let's get it all out there. Like, there needs to be a reckoning on this, and there needs to be some real changes in how this industry works.
Absolutely. Like,
the code of silence has got to end. Like, the idea that, like, the boys don't tell on the boys has got to go away.
One of the most painful things is that David Starr was one of the big proponents of building a union among wrestlers that could actually help with situations like this. Yeah. Guess what? He's a rapist.
Yeah, the difference that would make to be able to go to your union representative and tell them what happened instead of having to go to management and get blackballed.
Exactly. The idea that with a union in place, you couldn't just be blackballed from a company. You would have certain rights and could only be terminated under certain circumstances. Like, that doesn't protect everyone, but
and,
it's better than...
And to be fair, a union, because a union's job is to protect all of its members, would also force there to be due process for people who are accused. So, I mean, I want to put that on the table, too. Like,
it
does run
everyone
both ways.
Yes. Yeah. Like, you couldn't just have, like, hey, Will says we can't book you because you're mean, so we'll never book you again. Like, that couldn't happen. It probably would still in some small isolated cases, but at least there would be lawyers in place to help you fight that.
I mean, you have Colin Kaepernick situations in the NFL where the player was blackballed, but he also sued the NFL and won.
Yeah. So this is a huge loss for the idea of a wrestler's union. That seems super minor compared to the actual issue at hand, but unfortunately, there's that. This is just a super bad... It's not even a super bad week, because all it was them bringing attention to things that have been happening for years. So it's actually a glorious week, a heroic week. And I want to remember it that way, that this is a week where we finally get the opportunity to scrub these assholes out of our community, these monsters, these hypocrites, and these evil fucking douchebags. So, glory be, we can finally do that.
You know, for the most part, there's always, especially with wrestling, there's always a dark side of the fandom that seemingly will defend these guys no matter what. Not seeing a ton of that, to be honest.
I'm really happy to hear. Like, if you go into the comments of any of their apologies, obviously there's a bunch of people who are quick to jump in and be like, hey, you know, you're just accused. Nobody can prove that happened, or we support you. That was a great apology. Not one of these men has made an apology that seemed like a human wrote it yet. No. Like, there is no PR firm stepping in there to help any of these guys. They're just making every poor decision, every insincere I'm sorry in the book. It's painful to watch. But you're right. The community has really banded together in a way that really kind of makes me proud of it.
Yeah. So, I'm sure there will be more on this story as it continues to develop. But other big story of the weekend, looks like The Undertaker has retired again.
Looks like he made it.
Maybe this is real this time, but yeah, The Last Ride documentary series, which if you haven't been watching, I strongly recommend. Have really enjoyed these. Brought some, you know, really, I mean, just really, we've not seen The Undertaker open up, which he addresses like on the show that he's been even, you know, well into the 2000s, 2010s. He was very guarded with his character. He wouldn't do podcasts. He just did not open up much. This is when we really get to see, you know, more of who the man Mark Calloway is and see him kind of grapple with the end of his career and the emotions that brings. And I don't know, it was an interesting series of just missed opportunities and some really strange booking these last couple of years. So, I mean, just to recap, you know, they get through, they catch it, you know, they follow, the series starts in the lead up to WrestleMania 33, where he wrestled Reigns. And it seems like that's going to be his last match, but he's not happy with the match against Reigns. He feels like he's got something to prove. So it just becomes this cycle of like, he gets back in the ring, but he's not happy with the match. So he's still chasing that last great performance. And, you know, the last episode, we catch up with the present day. They cover the Boneyard match against AJ at WrestleMania this year. And at the end of it, he says he thinks he's done. He doesn't want to get back in the ring. But, you know, he says he's learned to never say never because he's, I mean, it just became a running joke with him that every year at WrestleMania, he would tell people that he was done and he couldn't do it. So we've heard it, you know, probably 10 times from him that he's retired. But this one might actually stick. We'll see. But seems like, I mean, big deal if The Undertaker is never getting back in the ring. You know, the end of an era, nearly 30 years from his WWE debut. I mean, just what do you make of this?
You know, I'm just happy that he's gone. And I know that that sounds bad, but I he's just wanted to get out for so long. It's very obvious. And he just couldn't find the right way to do it, right?
And Vince would pull him back in. Every time he thought he was done, Vince would call him, hey, we got a big show with the Garden. We got a Saudi Arabia show. Hey, we need you for WrestleMania this year. And he couldn't tell Vince no. And understand the loyalty, because, I mean, Vince McMahon made him rich, made him famous, made him a legend. So it's hard to tell the man no. But, yeah, it was clear he was ready to be done with this, and he was just restless. And I think that Goldberg match, where he damn near got his neck broken on that botched jackhammer, had to really put things in perspective for him. As he's laying there on the mat, probably concussed, he has to be wondering, like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I could have made my wife a widow there, and for what? Like, why am I still doing this?
You can't
have these
do
awful
this.
Matches.
You can't just do this forever. And yeah. I feel bad because he gave so many other people that moment that he never got. Like, he gave Shawn the greatest retirement any wrestler has ever had. And, like, if Triple H had chosen to retire, he would have given him that moment, too. And he was part of Ric Flair's moment. And, like, he was just such a big part of so many people being able to say goodbye in such a classy way. It just really feels like he missed his opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, either WrestleMania 30, putting Brock over, losing the streak, or 33, putting Reigns over, losing there, were both pretty perfect ways to go out. The problem is in both cases, I mean, the Brock match was pretty much a disaster. He got a concussion like 5 minutes into it and really couldn't wrestle after that. The Reigns match, I think he's too hard on himself about, but he was like embarrassed and ashamed about his performance there, that he, you know, the botched tombstone, not being able to get him up for the last ride. He was just really upset with himself about how that went down and just felt like he couldn't go away on that note. But I think that was perfect. I mean, just putting over the new top guy at WrestleMania and getting to walk out like that, that was a perfect ending to his career, I thought.
I completely agree. And in retrospect, I honestly think that the best way his career could have ended is if he kept the streak undefeated until that moment and Reigns beats him and it's over. Like, if we can retcon the whole thing and give him a perfect walkaway ending, arguably the perfect walkaway ending would him never losing at all, but he wanted to lose. Like, that was a big thing for him.
I'm good. I'm a believer in going out on your back, putting somebody over in your last match. And like, that would have been, you know, to put over Roman Reigns, who was the guy they were grooming to be the top guy at that time, made all the sense in the world.
So if he doesn't beat Brock and instead you do that, and you can even have the exact same Reigns promo the next night where everyone would boo him off the face of the earth. And all he says is, this is my yard now. And it would have meant even more because it would be his yard now. Yeah.
And if we're going to imagine things, imagine if Reigns was undefeated at WrestleMania and that launched his streak.
And he beats it 23-0.
But yeah, I mean, it gets into some of the weirdness of the last few years. You know, that I'll still never, they don't really answer the central mystery of what the hell the deal with that match with Cena was. Because Undertaker's very clear, he trained for a full-on, like, 25-minute classic, and then they only gave them, you know, literally 3 minutes. It was just this, like, kind of joke match. I have never quite figured out what the deal with that was, and they don't really reveal any answers in the documentary.
Do you think it was because he went to StarCast, or was going to?
That hasn't happened yet. That happened later.
Okay, then never mind.
Yeah, that happened later.
Then I have no idea. Honestly, it's one of the weirdest things.
And they do address StarCast, and like him and Vince did have a, you know, falling out over that, and that was probably why he didn't have a match at WrestleMania last year.
It's very weird. But like, what a great, if you're not going to be able to wrestle a match, doing a documentary like this, where over the course of it you realize that it's his goodbye to you, that's a very touching way for him to leave.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate he doesn't get the big send-off in front of the crowd because of the virus. You know, he couldn't do, they had to, you know, do a pre-taped match. I wonder if they would have done the cinematic thing anyway, because it was a good buffer against him not being able to have, you know, the proper great match. Doing it cinematically, you know, was helpful in that sense. But I'm sure whenever we can finally have wrestling shows in front of crowds again, he'll get his big moment when he goes into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. And like when he makes that speech, it's going to be a very emotional moment. It's such a long time coming. I mean, literally, like, all of his peers retired over a decade ago.
Yeah.
It's insane.
This is just an incredible run. Like, 30 years as a star with one company.
And he never really got...
Not a lot of precedent for that.
And he got stale at points, but like, to never be anything but a main eventer.
Yeah.
To never not be a top draw.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's one of those things where like, he was never the guy, but it's the longevity is so impressive that he's... You got to kind of put him on the WWE Mount Rushmore.
Oh, you have to. Like,
he debuts in the Hogan era, and he just retired, apparently, now in whatever the hell era we're in 30 years later.
Like, yeah, we might be in the post-Reigns era, like, wherever we are now.
Think of all the top guys who came and went while he was the man. You know, Hogan, Warrior, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Diesel, Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H, Brock Lesnar, John Cena,
Batista.
Roman Reigns, Batista. Yeah, like, yeah. How many guys who started their careers well after him retired before he did?
Yeah, Batista's entire career, all of it, is contained within, like, a part of The Undertaker's career you barely remember. Like, just a tiny little fraction of The Undertaker's career.
Like... Yeah, think of the 6 degrees you can play with him. I feel like you can get all the way from, like, the beginning of wrestling to, like, the modern day with a couple, like, oh, Undertaker wrestled this guy who wrestled this guy who wrestled this guy, and you're back to, like, 1932.
Okay, so George Hackenschmidt wrestled Ed Strangler Lewis, who wrestled Lou Thesz, who wrestled Carl Gotch, who wrestled Antonio Inoki, who wrestled Hulk Hogan. Hogan,
who wrestled The Undertaker.
Boom, I did it, motherfuckers!
Yeah. And you could probably have gotten there. I feel like you could get there even faster. There's some other people that have ridiculous longevity in wrestling.
Oh, man. Well, that's a fun party game.
Yeah.
Six degrees of the Undertaker.
But yeah, I mean, it's not like it's, you know, it doesn't, not really shaking the company up that much, because he had had, I mean, he'd been doing one or two matches a year for pretty much a decade now, but still going to be weird to have WrestleMania without The Undertaker.
I don't know that I could even, because it's been a long time since I look forward to Undertaker matches necessarily. Like, it's always been kind of a, man, I hope this goes well. And, oh, that was pretty enjoyable. But really, it's more dread than anticipation. But this company is alien to me now.
That's one thing I'm thinking of. Is there any, who's left from when I started watching wrestling?
Like, who's left even from 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, what is this company? What is its, where is it going? Who are the stars?
That is a serious question facing this company. Who knows when we'll see Roman Reigns again?
Yeah. Who knows when we'll see
Becky Lynch again?
The biggest stars and prospects in this company have leukemia or are out having a child, and who knows what her motivation will be to come back afterwards. I'm sure she will, but, I mean, motherhood is very important. Yeah. A rapist and a pedophile are your two biggest prospects. Like, what is this company?
Now, it's in tough shape, and thank God they've got Bruce Pritchard to lead them out of it.
Said that.
So yeah, we have apparently seen The Undertaker's last ride, but you know, you never say never in wrestling. Shawn Michaels was one of the few guys I thought was truly going to retire and not come back, and ironically enough, it was an Undertaker match that kind of got him back in the ring.
A big enough check changes anyone's mind.
Yeah, I was sure we weren't going to see Edge again, because I, you know, didn't think there was a cure for spinal stenosis. But, you know, he just had the greatest match ever against Randy Orton.
The greatest match ever. It was the greatest match ever.
The greatest match of the night.
It was the greatest match that I streamed for free.
Greatest match of the week?
The New Japan Cup's going on, bro. I don't think I can say that.
No, probably not. But yeah, any final thoughts on The Undertaker, on speaking out, on anything else going on? I mean, I don't have a lot else to say about the state of the wrestling industry right now.
Yeah, we're not going to do a deep dive state of the wrestling industry right now, because the state of the wrestling...
I haven't been watching very much, is the truth. Yeah.
It's in tatters. The shows are all lifeless and terrible. Like, nobody's putting on a product worth watching. I'm not even that enthusiastic about New Japan in front of no crowd. And that is a crowd that usually doesn't even make that much noise.
Yeah. The biggest thing I've learned here is, like, we knew crowds matter, but it's so essential. Like, we're seeing just how tough it is to have a show without a crowd.
Yeah. But what I am grateful for is that this time that wrestling is in such a chaotic state has kind of like knocked it off of its foundations just enough that I feel like, not just through speaking out, but in other ways, wrestling is finally changing in some way. I don't know where it's going, and I don't know that it's even going into a particularly positive place, but at least in terms of the speaking out and in terms of the women finally feeling like they can step forward and tell their stories freely with support from the community, I that's an incredibly positive change. And God protect those women and hope and anyone else who ever speaks out again. And I'm sure that there are listeners to this podcast who are the exact kind of people who hop in the comments and are going to be like, oh, you know, there's no proof and blah, 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 blah. And fuck you. You can suck a big old dick. That's not what I do.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is a wrap for this breaking news episode. Yeah. You know, a little darker than I feel like the tone we're usually going for on this show. But, you know, We will be back at you this Friday with King of the Ring 2001, which is about how WWE ruined a bunch of guys' careers and lives. So you've got that to look forward to.
Yeah! LawCast, bringing positivity to you since... God, how long have we been doing this now?
3 years.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. A lot's changed in those 3 years.
Basically everything. From the way that we do this to what we're covering to... the industry that we're part of. It's been as tumultuous a 3 years as I've ever been part of.
Not been positive for the most part.
Not particularly.
Nope. But yeah, for the ups and the downs, we're here for all of it. Stay safe. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again this Friday for King of the Ring 2001.